Welcome to Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. How much has political correctness crept into our school's children's testing? Well, more than we would like to think. So says our guest in this portion of Vocal Point. His name is Mark Horn. He's a columnist with PoliticalOutcast.com. And he wrote a column recently called Education, Clarence Thomas and the KKK on the Same Team. Mark, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jerry. Glad to be here.
Sure. And by the way, just for clarification here, you used to work for Coral Ridge Ministries years ago. Now it's called D. James Kennedy Ministries.
That's right. We used to, you were in radio and I was more in the writing side of things, which I guess still holds true today in a way.
So, sure.
Yeah,
you also wrote some books with George Grant.
That's right. Back in the day.
Yeah.
That's correct. We did.
That's neat. Okay, now, this recent article posted March 10th says this. Did you know that the Ku Klux Klan and Clarence Thomas hold the same political position on the left-right scale, that is, the left-to-right scale, a Barron's Test preparation book for the AP European History exam teaches students that Clarence Thomas and the KKK belong in the same group based on comparison to the spectrum of political positions that existed at the time of the French Revolution. Can you clarify this for us? And by the way, this is not some small little item. This is what our American students need to take this test, in order to get to good schools and so forth.
Right. They basically, there's two things going on here. The first is just the horrible, really biased, completely fictitious, I guess we call it liberal propaganda. It's being put in what's supposed to be a really serious textbook. Not just a textbook for students, but a textbook for students who want to become history teachers. I mean, I don't know what else could you do with a degree in history. Maybe there's a few things, but, you know.
I have a degree in history.
Yeah, well, you're doing lots of stuff, I noticed, but the point is there's, you know, when you're putting this stuff out, you're trying to teach teachers, and that's actually what you do, Jerry. You do teach history in your own way. I know that from your books and from your radio show, in lots of cases. And it kind of is what we're both doing now. I mean, if you will, but, we're trying to correct it. But the point is, they're trying to train people to have this and to put it out. I assume in the public school system as well as in colleges and universities.
Yeah.
That's where this is all going. Well, so it's really important.
Yeah,
and
no.
The second thing, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I just want to say in your column itself, you have an actual picture of the image from this textbook we're talking about, or from this book, this student test preparation book, and it actually shows this box, and it says in the box from the textbook, this is not your words, this is their words, quote, "Those who want things like they used to be, Clarence Thomas and the KKK."
Yeah, and that brings us to the other offense. Now, I should just add as a side note, the Daily Caller had a story, and I've got a link to it, where they had a lot of photographs. There's no question about the context. They photographed the entire, a bunch of other pictures. They took a bunch of other pictures of the textbook, wide angle and short, and also they focused in on that one claim to make sure they're giving the proper context. You can't, there's no doubt about it. They're saying this stuff. The second thing, though, is that in addition to this being horrible liberal propaganda, this is just stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, people are being taught to analyze serious issues using tools that are designed to make them dumb. I don't know any other way to put it. The idea that we want to understand Clarence Thomas or the KKK based on this silly question about whether they want to go back to the past, which past? And why do they want to do it anyway? I mean, how do you know they're motivated by nostalgia? You assume that. Actually, I mean, you and I were, somewhat politically aware, I think, probably very politically aware in your case, during the Clarence Thomas confirmation hearing.
Oh, yes.
And he talked about the principles. He talked about the philosophy of the Declaration of Independence, and I recall it being very controversial that he thought the Declaration of Independence was really part of kind of the standing law, and if you will, really needed to be considered constitutional, like part of the constitutional law is the basis of the whole American system.
Well, as a matter of fact, the Constitution itself said this is signed in the year of our Lord, 1787, and in the year of independence, the 12th year. And the implication there is it's referring back to the Declaration of Independence. As Santorum once said, look, the Declaration gives us the why we exist as a country, the Constitution, the how.
That's excellent. My point is, aren't those the things you want to learn about when you want to learn about a man? Or when you want to learn about politics? Aren't those the questions? Instead of this, he wants to go back to the past. He wants to move forward. It just sets you up to have any person who just simply shouts hope and change seem like an intelligent person. But that's not real thinking. So I just think want those two things to be kept in mind. It's vicious liberal propaganda, but it's also just idiotic.
Mm-hmm.
No one can understand history or understand anyone in history by using those kinds of measurements.
I remember in one of my history classes, and this goes back to the 1970s, Tulane University, but the professor said, okay, look, on the far, far left, we have radical. Then the next phase, as you're moving toward the center, is liberal, but they're still left of center. Then to the right of the center is conservative, and then to the far right is reactionary. Now, I think a key word to define in the left-to-right spectrum is the word fascist. And your article makes that point in the article. And I think the way today's progressives define fascists is different than the way it really was. Can you explain?
Well, first of all, fascist basically stands in most people's mind for Republicans. I mean, if this Barron's European history textbook is any indication, that's what they're trying to do. But historically, fascism was National Socialism in Germany. That's what it was called. It was a left-wing position. It involved control of the means of production. It may not have involved actually assuming, technically legal ownership, but the state was calling the shots. The politicians were supposed to control everything. Now, how is it different than Marxist socialism? Well, Marxism had this idea of an international kind of revolution, and you're supposed to have an international class consciousness. You weren't supposed to be, you weren't supposed to be nationalistic. And if you read one good introduction to all of this is Liberal Fascism by Jonah Goldberg.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit of an older book. You can probably find it pretty cheap, and it's just an excellent introduction to all this. But what happened was, I mean, I believe Mussolini was just a typical left-wing socialist who, decided he really wanted to embrace Italian nationalism. So the only difference between the two groups was this nationalistic emphasis on the part of the so-called fascists. All right? So that was the basis for the big blowout, the big competition, the big animosity between international communists and national fascists. But that was it. And I just don't think that's enough. They both believed in basically controlling the economy and all sorts of other things. They were both socialists. So I don't understand why they're put on the opposite side of the spectrum except to manipulate people and make them believe stupid things.
Even the word Nazi, of course, is derived from National Socialist. Explain about Hitler and his whole race theory.
Well, the only thing that made Hitler different than a lot of other people was he really had a lot of anti-Semitism in the way he adopted it. But the fact is, the eugenics philosophy, that came to him probably from the United States. It certainly was thoroughly embedded in the Progressive Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, was a major pusher of eugenics, was recognized as a defender of eugenics, and was, basically lauded for that, praised for that by progressives. I recently just wrote another post. It just hit the news that a guy got many people are receiving compensation because they were forcibly and involuntarily sterilized as children.
Mm-hmm.
Under eugenics laws in this nation, which stayed in place in some states as late as 1979.
Mm.
Now, you think about that. We defeated the Nazis in World War II, and we kept these horrible eugenics laws on the books, laws about forcibly sterilizing people, way after.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, someone, it dawned on people they should stop doing this.
Mm.
But, I remember I was, a child in the 70s. It would have never dawned on me that was the kind of country we were.
Hmm.
So,
as a matter of fact, there was a
real...
I'm just going to say there was a Supreme Court decision in the 1920s, I believe it was, from Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr. He was the one who wrote it, and he said in favor of forced sterilization. He said something like, you know, X number of generations of imbeciles is enough. You know, something to that effect.
Yeah, I think he said three. I think that's almost a direct quote. I think he said three generations of imbeciles is enough, or maybe he said morons. I can't remember for sure. But, you know, yeah, that was the kind of thinking that was widely pervasive. Hitler did not stand out in that. I mean, he may have done more than anyone else was able to get away with, but he did not stand out. I mean, the only thing that made him a little bit different was that he you know, how he classified Jews, Semitism around, but he was a person who really pushed that hard. That wasn't the case. You know, Mussolini was not in favor of that. It wasn't a typical fascist position. If you think of fascism as an international movement, or, you know, a movement that helped happened in several nations. Eugenics, on the other hand, you know, that did not originate in Germany, I don't believe, and it certainly didn't stay there. It was there. Those ideas were around long before, I think before even Hitler was born, at least, you know, certainly in his young life, you would run into them from other people, being pushed by other people. So, and then that's why in the 1920s, you know, and Jonah Goldberg points it out, you know, Hitler and Stalin were considered good guys. I mean, I forget, and one or both of them became Times Man of the Year, I think Mussolini more than once. Mm. So they just, you know, the whole way we think now is a very, very fictitious imposition on the facts.
That's a great point. And by the way, Hitler also was absolutely fascinated with the whole Darwinian evolution, and, you know, evolutionists will say, well, he distorted it. Okay, fine. But as Dr. Kennedy pointed out in the last documentary that we made with him and for him and so forth, that he hosted, he made the line, no Darwin, no Hitler, because the whole Nazi Holocaust was really Darwinism on steroids. But let's go back to the bigger issue here of conservative versus liberal. What's the essential difference between a conservative and a liberal? What's the difference between right-wing, left-wing?
Well, I would say today the difference really is property rights and a belief in rule of law as a possession of the people, meaning it's not secret law, it's not decided by experts, it's a tool that people use to you know, deal with crime and you know, settle differences between themselves. On the conservative side, I think that's become the, and should be, and is the essential position. Whereas on the left, it's about state control. And then we can talk about why, but basically state control of the economy, the state imposition of outcomes on people in the name of fairness, but always decided by basically a tax-fed bureaucracy. Mm-hmm. So now, by the way, that would be different. The French Revolution would also have a bunch of issues that just, one, are not really relevant today, and two, were not really ever relevant in the United States because we didn't have a landed aristocracy.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, does that... go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask if the left-wing, right-wing, if that very phraseology comes back to the, or goes back to the French Revolution.
Well, I think it does, and therefore I question whether it's even helpful. I mean, it you know, why should there even be a correspondence between the issues of the French Revolution and what we're dealing with in the 21st century? Why even mention, why have Clarence Thomas even on that grid? Why even assume that it helps you understand anything?
That's good.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I don't think these people are being allowed to understand the French Revolution either by using this kind of tool.
Yeah. I think you're right.
It's all just confusing.
And I think at the end of the day, people don't realize this, but conservatives are the pro-freedom party. Liberals, I think that term itself is an oxymoron, because liberals should be liberal. They should be generous. They're not. They're generous with other people's money, but they're not generous when it comes to you being able to own your right. Somebody put it this way. The difference between a conservative and a liberal is very simple. The conservative believes that you are best qualified to take care of you and your family. The liberal believes that the government is best qualified to take care of you and your family. And to me, I love that simple definition because it makes sense.
I do, too, and I think that's right. And by the way, I mean, the word liberal was co-opted from people who were very different than modern liberals. I mean, a liberal used to mean a guy who was pro-trade, pro-free market, pro-peace, didn't want, you know, unnecessary wars, and was basically, I mean, now we hear the phrase sometimes classical liberal. And if your listeners hear that term, classical liberal,
that means a conservative.
That means is someone who is for freedom,
yep.
And but they know the name has been taken away because liberals now mean something completely different. So now they have to add the word classical. But that was a ploy.
Yep.
People who believed in state dominance as the key to progress and prosperity, or at least that's what they said, they took over that word.
Well, I think in a very real sense, the besmirching of somebody like Clarence Thomas is just a ploy of the modern liberals to denigrate this man who has a great record overall in a very positive way. Mark, thank you so much for writing this. Again, you can see Mark Horne's work, H-O-R-N-E, at politicaloutcast.com. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Jerry.
Okay, bye-bye.